I have to admit, almost feel like a racehorse, just chomping at the bit. Just want to tell folks the good news. Just want to let them know that they don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to be scared of everything and everybody. You don't have to be mad all the time at everybody and everything. You can have some peace. You can have some real peace. Not peace that just lasts temporary. He said, I give you peace that surpasses understanding. He said, you can't get in any place else but in the Word of God. By the way, it's free. Paid for by Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for the men and women that you brought out here today, dear Heavenly Father. As Brother Randy said earlier this morning, dear Heavenly Father, our job is to responsibly, correctly put the word out. One plants, one waters, but Lord, you give the increase. So Lord, we're just asking in the name of Jesus today that when we preach this word, when this word goes out, Lord, that you will touch hearts and minds and souls to the point and to the end that someone might believe and be saved. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And we use the King James Bible. You'll find one in the pew in front of you if you don't have one. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and we'll begin at verse 24. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 24. And it reads, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things, this is our key verse, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May the Lord add a blessing to the reader, Jew, and hearers of his word. Amen. Amen. John said he wrote it that we might believe. And as a point of topic, as we're going to speak here, let's talk today about the resurrection, a matter of life or death. Change that to life or death. And the reason we have it for life or death is because the Bible says, if you believe this, you have life. The Bible says, if you don't believe this, the resurrection, you don't have life. It's pretty plain. Pretty plain. While researching for this message, I was kind of just browsing and reading through some things about dangerous things, dangerous situations and dangerous circumstances. And I was reading, bless you, I was reading where it says, I was reading about venomous snakes. And I read about the king cobra. The king cobra gets to be about 18 feet long. That's a long snake. I think I could still outrun him, though. Because if I see an 18-foot snake, I'm gone. By the time I see 2 feet of that snake, I'm gone. Amen. But the king snake, the king cobra, his bite can kill an elephant. A snake, his bite can kill an elephant. And his bite kills at least 50% of all humans that he bites. So that tells me that if you have an encounter with the king cobra and you let it go untreated, it's going to cause death. And then I looked at poisonous plants. And I looked up and it says, the lily of the valley. Y'all, how many of y'all know how pretty that lily of the valley with the little white bells on it and everything? I didn't know this till I was researching. That's one of the deadliest plants in the world. You eat that, left untreated, you will die. And it's such a pretty plant. But guess what? There's folks walking around here today with a sickness in them called sin. Born with it. Well, that's not fair. I don't like it. God didn't ask your opinion. What he did was he stated our situation. He said, you're born with this situation. You're born in sin, and we're shaped in iniquity. And there's many folks who think that they can deal with this sin issue by being good and giving money and even just attending church. They think that's going to. I'm here to tell you, just like that king cobra, just like that lily of the valley, sin left untreated is going to cause you death. Eternal death. Not just a little sick for a little while. Eternal death. An eternal separation from God. But praise be to God, most of the people who get bit by a king cobra, if they get help in time, they will survive. Most of the people, if they accidentally ingest a lily of the valley, they will survive. But I got something better for you. Everybody who confesses with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, they believe in the resurrection, 100% of them shall have eternal life. Amen. Amen. Nothing can stop that. Nothing can stop. It's written, and it's written in the blood of the Lamb. It's a done deal. So let us get on here, and let us talk about this resurrection, a matter of life and death, because there's many who teach. There's men who stand in pulpits, and they tell you, believing in the resurrection is kind of like that little piece of parsley that you get on your plate when you go out to those fancy restaurants. They don't do that for me at Whataburger. But all those other places, you know, but they put a little sprig of parsley on you. That's when you know you're at a place out of my price range. If they put some parsley. And see, and unfortunately, many, many nice people think that the resurrection is optional. They really think that, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I believe in God, and I know God loves everybody, and that's true. God does love everybody. And God loved you so much that he made a way that when you have this sin sickness, you don't have to pay the ultimate price for it. He did it. And he did it. See, what messes people up is we keep trying to find a reason that God would save anybody because we know we would not do that. We might die for a loved one. We might die for a friend. But the Bible says no man dies for his enemies. No man. The illustration I use, and I don't mind using you, you know, not too many years ago, it doesn't seem to be as big a thing as it was, but it probably still is. You had the Bloods and the Crips. They were just shooting each other and killing each other left and right. And, you know, you might hear of a Blood, and he tells you, that's my brother, and he'll do anything for another Blood, doesn't matter what state he's from, no matter what. If he's never met the guy, if he's a Blood, if he's got the right signs, he's going to die for him. But a Blood don't die for a Crip, no matter who he is. You and I, the Bible says, while we were yet his enemies. Wait, wrap your mind around that for a little bit, church. Wrap your mind around that for a little bit. God sent his son, his only begotten son, to go to the cross, to take this humiliating beating, to be beat and scourged and hung on a cross and put in a tomb. And he did it just so that you and I might be saved. And when you reject that, you really don't know what you're doing. You are really spitting in the eye of God. Because he said, I did it because I love you. Not because you gave money to the church. Not because you even came to church. By the way, you are supposed to come to church. That's why, the question, well, you know, you don't really have to come to church to be a Christian. Well, why do you think God created the church? He created the church so that the people that are his witnesses would come and other folks would see that there's something going on here that they might need, want to be a part of. In the wilderness, the Jews would gather in the tabernacle of, in the wilderness, in the tabernacle, which was this big old ugly tent. It was made out of badger skin, so it was a big old ugly, hairy, fuzzy tent. And the enemies of God, they would observe that the Jews would go into this place, and they'd go into this tent, and they'd go in one way, and especially on the Day of Atonement, because everybody was kind of, we don't know if we're going to be forgiven for our sins or not. And the high priest had to take the blood in, and they didn't know if they were going to be forgiven for their sins. And they went in, and when the high priest gave the sacrifice, and God said that it was accepted, the smoke was accepted, and all the Jews would come out happy, joyful. That's how y'all supposed to leave church. Actually, you're supposed to come into his gates with praise and thanksgiving. You're supposed to come in here with your mind stayed on Jesus. Don't come in talking about, hey, give me showtime for the sheep. Come in with your mind stayed on Jesus. Come in saying, thank you, Lord. I got to make it to church. Thank you, Lord. Let's get back to Thomas. Let's get back to Thomas and this whole resurrection thing. Because the resurrection, this right relationship, this right relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, this right relationship is truly life and death. There are those who tell you it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. Otherwise, Jesus died in vain. If there's any other way for you to get to where to the Father, if there's any other way, then Christ died in vain. So the resurrection matters. It matters for the Muslims. It matters for the Hindus. It matters for the Buddhists. It matters for the guy over on Division Street in Arlington. It matters because it's life or death. It's not almost life. It's not almost death. It's life or death. He who has Christ, he who has the Son, has life. He who has not the Son has not life. Understand that, church. That's not a scare tactic. That's an encouragement tactic. Come on. Come on. You're looking at a preacher trying to scare me into heaven. I ain't trying to scare you into heaven. I'm trying to encourage you into a right relationship with the Father who says, I love you and I love you unconditionally. That's what I'm trying to do. Because I'm here to tell you, that, preacher told me years ago, he said, taste and see. And I said, well, okay, because I've taken a beating out there, okay? And I said, he said, taste and see. So I said, I tasted. And I said, God, I gave him my life. I said, Lord, I have spent all these years doing this, and this is all I have to show for it. I'm getting ready to mess up my family. I'm getting ready to mess up my business. I am through. I am toast. I am done. What you going to do? And he said, I got you right where I wanted you now. And that's when the words of that preacher came back to me and said, taste and see. He's good. And I'm here to tell you, most of y'all young folks, y'all don't know Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith said, he's good. Woo! And he's good. Okay. He said, it says, but Thomas, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas was a faithful disciple, y'all. It says, Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Just prior to this particular text right here, just prior to this, Jesus had had an encounter with the other 11 disciples. And it says he came into a room where the door was locked, but he didn't come in through the door. It just says he showed up in the room and the door was locked. And so naturally, everybody was terrified. And so Jesus said to the 11 disciples, he said, here, you know, here's my hands, touch. Here's my side, take a look, touch. It's me, because they didn't think it was Jesus. They thought it was a ghost. So much for people saying that Jesus only rose spiritually. No, his men touched, they handled. He was not a ghost. He had flesh and bone, but they how everything else goes, we don't know. But we know he had flesh and bone. And so he assured the other 11 that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, now you got a week later, and Thomas, who was called Didymus, Didymus just means he's a twin, y'all. He's one of two. Ditto. Yeah. That's about the extent of my Greek. Amen. But he wasn't there with them. He wasn't there with them. And so when Jesus shows up, it says, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And because of that statement, he's gone down in history as doubting Thomas. But I want to get this straight, y'all. When Jesus arrived the first time with the other 11, they didn't believe it either. And Thomas was the one when Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem and I'm getting ready to go and confront the authorities that be. And Thomas, in scripture, Thomas was the one who stood up and said, well, hey, Jesus, if you're going up to die, let's go. It always bothers me that people call him Doubting Thomas. He was the only one who stood up and said, hey, if we're going to go die, if we're going to go, because he was ready to go out and do some fighting. I think he had a little bit of hood in him. Hey, we're going to go out. We're going to get bowdy. Come on, Jesus, let's go. And then here, he said the same thing that everybody else. I'm not going to believe it unless I see it and touch. I touch for myself. A church, you have friends, you have family. And they say, you know, that Christian stuff, well, that's good for you, and that's all fine for you, and that's all fine and dandy. But, you know, that's just not my thing. Sometimes we have to kind of look at how we conduct ourselves as Christians. We have to really see what bandwagons we're jumping on, y'all. Be real careful about the bandwagons that you jump on, the political bandwagons that you jump on, the issues and things like that. And here's why you have to be so careful about what you jump on. Because if it's not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, Thomas needed some convincing. Your friends need some convincing. And if they don't see a change in you or myself, why would they believe anything that you're saying about this Jesus? If when your money gets bad and you're just about ready to lose your mind, then why when your friends are frantic and the wheels have fallen off and they come to you, first off, they're not going to come to you.
because you're just as crazy as they are. You hate folks just like they hate folks. You cheat on your taxes just like they cheat on their taxes. You smoke what they smoke. You drink what they drink. Why in the world would they come to you? Unless they see something different. Thomas is just saying, until you show me something, I need some evidence. I need some evidence. That's not doubting. If you told me that my car was on fire, I probably wouldn't believe you if you came and said, Pastor, your car is on fire. Oh, it's April Fool's Day. Don't be telling me that. But if you came in, Pastor, and you're grabbing fire extinguishers, I'd probably believe you. I got some evidence. But when you name the name of Jesus and there is no change in you, Lord, have mercy. How's anybody going to believe us? Even if it's just something as simple for the first time in our lives, just holding our tongue. Something as simple as just holding my tongue when I really want to let it go. And in my mind and in my heart, okay, let's see. What did he say do? At this point, he said, start praying for him. Okay, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray. Because I want them to see something different in me. I want them to know I'm not the same old man I used to be. I may wear the same clothes. I may live in the same house. But I want them to know I've been bought with a price. Y'all, do y'all understand what it means to be bought with a price? You know why dogs get beat? Don't call Peter. When you were, any of y'all ever have a dog that you got him and you fed him and you took care of him? You know, you got the little papers and everything. And you cleaned up behind him. And then you went to feed that rascal and he bit you. What's wrong with you? Y'all. There's got to be a change in how we respond to things. There's got to be a change in how we respond to in anger. There's got to be a change. And we got to pray. We got to pray because there's a natural in us that gets aggravated pretty easily. We have to pray. Thomas, it says after 8 days, verse 26, and after 8 days, a little bit of time passed between when Thomas told him, I'm not going to believe it, no matter what. I'm not going to believe it unless I can touch it. And after 8 days, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. It says the doors being shut. And stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now, right about now, I'm ready to leave the room. Because the room is locked. Because they're afraid that the Jews are going to come and get them. The doors are shut. The doors are locked. And all of a sudden, a man who we know got crucified several weeks ago stands up in the middle of the room and says, peace. Y'all may be real spiritual. But something's going to hit you real quickly that I'm hoping this really is Jesus. But if it's not, I got to get out of this room. And he says, but look at what Jesus does. He says, peace be unto you. Because understand, church, that's the first thing Jesus brings into your life. Because he knows what you need. He knows what I need. He says, give me some peace. He says, I got peace right here for you. He goes, verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither. Now, wait a minute. Thomas said he wasn't going to believe anything unless he could touch. Did Thomas ask Jesus, can I touch your hands? Can I touch your side? He didn't say, He didn't say nothing to Jesus, did he? That's not what's in the text. He didn't say anything. Understand, Jesus initiated the contact. Just like with you, just like with me. Jesus calls us. Why do I love the Lord? Because he loved me first. Jesus knows what's on every man's mind. Jesus knows what's on every man's heart. And he said, Thomas, Thomas, I know where you're at right now. Here, come here. Look, he says, come here. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. The Bible doesn't record that Thomas touched him at all. But Thomas believed when he saw him. I don't think he had to touch him. He could see the holes, the pierced hands. He could see the side. It doesn't say that he touched him. But look at what he says here. He says, Thomas, behold my hands and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithful but believing. Church, God tries to make it as simple as, no, he doesn't try. God makes it as simple as it can be. If you believe in the Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for your sins. He said, if you believe that, he didn't say go out and slay the dragon. He didn't say go out and raise $100, $1,000. He didn't say you got to do this. He said, if you believe me, stop calling me a liar. God said, I sent my son for you. And every time you turn away from him, you're saying, you're a liar, God. You're a liar. You didn't send your son here for me. And God still pursues. Look at how Jesus pursued Thomas. All the other ones already knew him. All the other ones already believed him. But he says, Thomas, here, come here. I got something special just for you. What that song we just sang? Just for me. Just for me. Ooh, I like that. I wonder if Thomas wrote that. Just for me. Jesus came just for me. Okay. He says, and be not faithless. Don't be without faith, but be believing. Church, if you can believe Genesis 1, if you can believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, if you can believe that, then everything else in the Bible makes sense. If you can't believe Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, if you can't believe that, if you refuse that, if you keep going around telling people about how the earth is billions and billions and billions and billions of years old, and how we got here through this great long process of evolution after evolution after evolution. All that is a denial of God. Yeah, but we got science. We got science and science disputes. Was Adam, again, go back to the book of Genesis. Was Adam created a grown man, yay or nay? Raise your hand. Was Adam created a grown man, yay or nay? Because if he wasn't grown, if he wasn't created a grown man, then he was an infant. What kind of God would stick an infant in the garden to take care of the garden? The Bible is logical. Yeah, but that defies logic that a grown man could just. The Bible is supernatural. The resurrection is supernatural. If you deny what God did in the beginning, which is supernatural, then you would just proceed into the new covenant where you will still deny the resurrection, which is supernatural. Jesus told Thomas, be not faithless, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Thomas went from being faithless and unbelieving. Look at that. Quicker than quick. Thomas went from being faithless and unbelieving to saved and born again. He said, my Lord and my God. You know what, y'all? That's all it takes. That's all it takes. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. But until you position your heart to where you love the Lord, where you want that peace that surpasses understanding, until you want that peace, you will never say, my Lord and my God. You're going to want to continue to try to do it your way. You're going to want to try to continue to make it all work out, make it all fit. And I'm here to tell y'all, I can't even call it a dream. I call it a nightmare. And when I was trying to orchestrate my life myself, I was going to make all my stuff fit. The only reason everybody else couldn't get their stuff right because they wasn't as smart as me. I was going to make my stuff fit. But then I used to always have this dream. And in this dream, I'd be at the bottom of a swimming pool. And I can't swim, by the way. So why are you in the pool? It's a dream. I'm at the bottom of the pool. But I'm just, and I could see daylight up there. I could see daylight. And I get there. And I would just break through the water. And I'm gasping. But I'm right through the water. And I look over to the side, and there's some guy throwing lawn furniture on top of me. I went, oh, my God. And I go right back down to the bottom. See, that's how some of your lives are right now. Because you're trying to fix it yourself. You decided, I don't need Jesus. And I'm getting close. I'm getting close to the top. I'm getting ready to break through the water. And, oh, here comes the lawn chair. It comes in the form of sickness. It comes in the form of lack of money. It comes in the form of confusion in the house. But it's always something coming. It's always something coming that will keep you from calling on my Lord and my God. It's just a trick of the devil. It's just a trick of the devil. Don't give in to him, y'all. Understand, Thomas went from unbelieving and faithless to my Lord and my God. Quicker than quick. Verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus is telling Thomas, he says, Thomas, you are now saved. You are blessed. You have eternal life. He said, but that's because I came here and I made a special trip just for you. He said, but blessed are those, that's us, y'all. Blessed are those who don't see and have not seen a physical manifestation of Jesus, but yet they believed. Church. You may not get a physical manifestation of Jesus, but understand, his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. His word will come to you, and he will speak to you, and he will, wait, say, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I haven't seen him, but I've walked with him, and I've talked with him, and he's comforted me. And he will comfort you. He will take your cares and your woes and your frustrations. And he says, just bring it to the cross and leave it here. Lay it down. Lay your burdens down. We are the most pill-popping nation on the planet. Pill-popping people. That's what we are. And don't you know, half of those pills could be gone if you would just say, my Lord and my God. By the way, my Lord, that means, Lord, you're in charge. I relinquish my authority that I thought I had. See, because you ain't got no authority now. You can't even keep yourself from dying before you get to this back door. You don't have any authority. You have no power. So when you relinquish, my Lord and my God, I'm saying, Lord, the Bible tells me that you have a plan for my life. and you mean good and not evil for my life. You don't have to break it down to me piece by piece by piece by piece by piece. Because, Lord, my ways are not your ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. So even if you were trying to explain it to me, I probably wouldn't catch it. But I do know that when in Jeremiah, when he says, when God sent his promise to the children of Israel, and he said, I got a plan for your life, and I mean good for your life, but not evil. I want y'all to understand this. They were in captivity. God's people had been so rebellious that he had sent them off into captivity. And he's speaking these words of comfort to them while they are in the midst of captivity. I'm speaking these words to some folks in here right now who have weights. You've got weights. You've got chains. You've got trucks attached to your ankles. Heavy laden. Heavy laden with sin. Dragging sin from one room to the other, to the other. You ever wonder why some folks look so wore out? Because sin is a heavy burden. I tried. A man beat me out of some money one time. A lot of money. Whew, a lot of money. And I wanted to hurt him so bad. I became consumed. I came consumed with getting back at him. I'm going to get you if it's the last thing I do. And it might well be, y'all. Keep fooling around. It might well be. And when God finally worked it all out, I've told you before, so I don't go through all the details. But I'm going to tell you this much because I love it. I love it, love it. When I finally said, my Lord and my God, not just my God, but you're my Lord first. Lord, I can't take this. I can't sleep at night. I got no money. My children are hungry. I can't pay my bills. And I worked, and this man took my money. And one night I said, my Lord and my God. And he took that hate. Man, he took that burden. And I was like, and I always thought I was a pretty laid back kind of guy. Okay, some people might dispute that. But I'm here to tell you, church, anybody in here today, if you will say and mean it, my Lord, not just God. Everybody got a God. But is he your Lord? Is he the one who you call on? Is he the one you run to? Is he the one you talk to? Is he the one who wraps his arms around you when you hurt so bad and don't anybody understand you? Do you know him in that way? Because if you don't, he's right here waiting for you. He's saying, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Believe the resurrection. Believe. You have to go all the way. You can't just start with, well, Jesus is a good man, and God is this one. No, the resurrection. Believing the resurrection is a matter of life or death. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. Jesus said to Thomas, he said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And the Bible goes on to tell you, he said that there's many other things that Jesus did in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. John said, y'all heard about him giving sight to the blind, one who was born blind. Y'all heard about him healing the woman with the issue of blood. You know, sometimes when we're raised in church, we hear these accounts so much that we kind of get to the point where we're like, okay, well, show me something really big. You don't understand that to that woman who was suffering from the issue of blood, that was huge. That wasn't a little thing. To that man who was born blind and Jesus put mud on his eyes, and he could see. That's not a little thing. I want you to know, for those of you out here right now, you're struggling. You're struggling with forgiveness. You're struggling with guidance. You're struggling with, what's my next step, Lord? I've done everything according to how I want to do it. And you're struggling. You're saying, it's like getting in an airplane. You know why a lot of people don't get in airplanes? I know why, because I don't like getting in airplanes. Because I don't like not being in control. I don't like having some man I've never met in my life up there talking about,
are you happy today? This is Captain so-and-so and so-and-so.
Man, will you get off the phone and fly this plane? I don't like not having control. But understand when I tell y'all, I'm telling myself, I don't control anything. I can't control my next breath. I control nothing. But I know the one who holds the king's heart in his hand, my Lord and my God. He says, will you receive that? Will you believe that I raised my son from the dead? Would you do that? And last, verse 31, John unabashedly says, but these are written that ye might believe, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John is saying, do you believe that Jesus is the one who was raised from the dead? That's the Christ. That's the anointed one of God. That's the one who was prophesied in the book of Deuteronomy. That's where God said, I'm going to raise up one amongst you, amongst your brethren, who's going to do what I want him to do. All this didn't just take place in the New Testament. This started in the Old Testament. This was all prophetic happenings. This are all things that God showed step by step, systematically, and he's brought it to fruition in one man, his son, Jesus Christ. And John says, John's pleading. John is saying, I wrote this with one purpose, because many of you are just like Thomas. If I can't see him and touch him and feel him, I'm not going to believe it. John is saying, I want you to not be faithless. I want you to be faithful. I want you to fall out and cry out and say, my Lord and my God. And I want you to see how freeing it is, y'all. It is so wonderful. It gives you that joy, it gives you that joy that you can't imagine. You can't imagine it, but you've always hoped for it. This message of the cross, this message of the resurrection, this message about believing on the name of Jesus Christ. And when I tell you it's a matter of life or death, that means that this message could be your greatest comfort, or this message could be your greatest concern. Choice is up to you. I'm so glad I don't have to convince anybody. Because then that'd be acting like I'm in charge again. He told me to tell everybody. Tell everybody. Tell the youth. Tell the teenagers. Tell the young adults. Tell the adults. This is a message for you. And you can walk out of here with comfort like you've never had in your life. You can walk out of here and say, I've been bought with a price. I've been bought with a price. Jesus, what's that song? Nate, what's that song? I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. That's how you can walk out of here today. You can walk out with that. You can walk in with that. But you got to say, my Lord and my God. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He got up. He got up bodily. And the Bible says if you'll do that, you shall be saved. It's a matter of life or death. God bless you.